Well, listen, everything is okay now.
Thank you. today. You're at least you're inside and you're dry. It's a little bit different from being outside. Amen. Hey, God is good. And all the time, God really, really is good. Listen, look at somebody around you, give them a wave and a smile that says, man, I'm glad to be here and I'm glad that you're here. And again, we also like to welcome those that are watching online. And be sure, if you're watching online, to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who is there with you. And as always, if you have any questions or any concerns or anything that you need answers to, Dr. Cazito can either answer those questions for you or he can find the answer to those questions for you. We're tickled to death to have him being able to communicate with those that aren't able to be with us today but are part of our online audience. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Our Father, as we come to you today, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be in your house today, Lord, to be together with like-minded believers. And Father, today I pray that we will truly focus upon you, that today we have purposed to come into your house to meet you in this place. Lord, we are truly sanctified. We're going to be looking at that today in your word, but Lord, I pray that we will truly redeem the moments that we were in, that we're in right now, and that we won't take them for granted. So Father, today, if we're not prepared, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to prepare our hearts to be together and to be in your house and to hear your word, and that the Holy Spirit may move freely in this place today. So Lord, again, we ask that you would help us in all that we do. Rather, to have it as worship and not just simply because this is what we've done or that we're going through some sort of mechanical motions. Today, may we look in depth at the words that come out of our mouth in song. Lord, may we think and consider about our prayers. And Father, as we gather around your table, as we partake in communion today, Lord, may it mean something more to us than it's ever meant before, because we have been in your presence at Central Baptist Church today. So again, Lord, we just ask that you would bless our time. Do what only you can do, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. If you would, please grab your hymn book, because we don't have the screens today. Screens 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And as we find that and as we prepare for that time, there's a couple of questions that I start with. And first of all, today, the questions that I ask you are simply this. Do you believe that God is who he says that he is? I hear an amen. All together, if you believe that God is who he says that he is, say amen.
Amen.
Good deal. Now, how many of you, and respond in the same fashion with amen, how many of you all believe that every jot and tittle of this word of God is truly the inspired, inerrant word of God? There you go. That sets the foundation for everything. You realize that? I've said so many times that people today, and I don't like to use the word argue, I will use the word debate. You know, people want to debate you on so many things. And usually, if it comes time for a debate, I will simply ask the question, do you believe that the Bible is truly the inspired and errant word of God, and that God is who he says he is, that he is powerful, and that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected, that men and women may have eternal life in heaven? Now, if I get the answer like I just got from you, yes, then we can have a conversation and we can prove points because we have a standard. The standard is the word of God. But you know what? If somebody says, well, nah, I just think that Bible's full of symbolism, we don't have a standard by which to prove a point. If you don't believe that God truly is who he says that he is, then how can you ever truly believe and follow him in the manner that you should? Now, I believe with all my heart, we have a room full of people who believe that. We have experienced God's miracles. We have seen God do incredible things, and we will stand on the word of God regardless, no matter what. In a world that seems to be going away from that today. Well, the reason I ask you those questions, and remember, I will probably at some point refer back to them, and you're going to have to listen fast today because I have to preach fast today. Well, a lot to do. But the thing about it is, when it comes down to saying those things, saying them and doing them generally wind up to be two different things, don't they? Sometimes it's easy. We've heard the expression, it's easier said than done, right? Sometimes we say those things, but then I'm going to challenge you today. Most of us with a good, pure, clear heart and conscience said, I believe God is who he says he is. I believe that the word of God is what it says it is. Then why is it that we struggle believing what the word of God says? Now, I'm going to go ahead and fast forward a little bit, and I'm going to give you an example. And some of y'all are saying, well, I don't have that trouble. Are you sure? Well, what about the part where God says, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take care of itself? What about the part where it says, where God tells us, by taking thought, meaning worrying or being anxious, by taking thought, can a man add one cubit to his stature? He says, consider the birds of the field. They don't go out and plow fields and store up in barns. They don't do any of that. And he says, and I take care of them. How much more will I take care of you? I have never seen a worried bird in the wintertime. Have you? I've never seen one come up there and sit on my windowsill going. I've never seen them skinny either. They're flying around, flitting around just like crazy. You know why? Because they don't worry about it. God's taking care of them. Are you starting to understand the disconnect that often we have when we say we believe in the word of God, but yet it doesn't become applicable? I like that word. Applicable. We're not applying it to our lives. Now, I've said this many times. I work with the high school age in Awana. And one of the things I really love about the lessons that they learn, my crew learns something throughout the week. There are things that they do throughout the week. But the very last question that is asked to them is based on the lesson from God's word that you learned this week, how are you going to apply that to your life? You see, when you come in here, And you get into the scripture and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's not that it should be done or over with when we walk out of this place. I think it's a good question for each of us to ask ourselves, how am I going to apply this to my life? Beginning right now. Now, some of y'all are sitting back going, well, that's a tall order because I come to church a lot. Yeah, if I came every week, that'd be 52 new things that I got to start applying in my life. Yeah? Yeah, it is. I didn't say it was an easy challenge. And some things we just continue to have problems with. But now I want to talk to you today about one of the great biblical truths that we often know by definition. Today I want to talk to you about sanctification. We've heard that word, haven't we? How many of y'all have heard the word sanctification? That sounds really holy, doesn't it? Okay. So first of all, particularly in our given society today, we have to define what we're talking about. Have you all noticed that, or is it just me? The definitions of things have changed so much today from the day that I was growing up. So often, you know, we're talking about something completely different when we're talking about a younger generation. So I have learned in my life when somebody says, well, let's talk about sanctification, my first thing is tell me how you define sanctification so we can make sure we're on the same page when we're talking about it. Well, let's consider sanctification. I know that you guys probably have a great opportunity to understand what that is. I'm going to give you a couple of definitions this morning, and these are definitions that you can look up. Sanctification, the action of making or declaring something holy, the sanctification of bread and wine into the body and the blood of Christ, which we're getting ready to, in just a few moments, observe. How about this? The action or process of being freed from sin or purified. And that's most of the time the definition that we think of when we think of sanctification. When we say that term, we sit back and say, well, because we're born again, God has put us aside. He has put us in a different pool from the rest of the world that's lost. And that is true. That is true. But there's also the action of causing something to be or seem morally right or acceptable. Okay? Let me give you another one. This was how Paul defined sanctification. In chapter 5, he defined it as the outworking of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Well, that sounds cool and biblical, doesn't it? The outworking of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Now, if you think about that, that means that it is a verb. It is an ongoing action. It's not something that just happens once. It is something that you and I should strive for on a daily basis. It wasn't like, hallelujah, they accepted Jesus, we baptized them, they're sanctified, and that's the end of it. No. This is an ongoing thing, not salvation. I mean, when you trust Jesus and you're his, period. But sanctification, being separate from the world so that people see we are separate from the world. What does Jesus say about sanctification? I like what's written. It says, the method of sanctification is by faith alone. Jesus said it in John 15, chapter 5. Without me, ye can do nothing. Did you hear that? Without me, ye can do nothing. We've heard that 1,000 times, haven't we? That doesn't mean in the past. That doesn't just mean in the present. That even means in the future. So sanctification is a pretty big deal. See, he was talking about producing the fruits of obedience and the fruits of the Spirit in the Christian life. That is what he was talking about. So what I want to talk to you for just a few moments today is simply this. How are you being sanctified? I want you to think about your sanctification today. Not yesterday. Not at the moment that you trusted Jesus. So you're sitting there, and some of you are probably going, I don't get it. This is a new concept for you. Now, I can remember years and years ago, it was something that I had a hard time grasping, but I remember when the Lord finally hit me over the head with the 2x4 of his knowledge. Y'all been there? All of a sudden, you're years into something, and you go, oh, I get it. And I still remember the times that I was working security at Liberty University at Thomas Road Baptist Church and in my time as a police officer, and I got to be around some really interesting people, particularly at Liberties. Some of these names you guys are going to know. How many of y'all have heard of Dr. Tim Lee? You ever heard of him? He was the Marine who lost both of his legs, you know, in the war, okay? How about David Ring? Has anybody heard of evangelist David Ring? Okay, if you haven't, he has severe cerebral palsy, and yet he was still out preaching for the Savior. Now, this one I would believe that if you spent any time around any spiritual or religious event, church, whatever you might call it, you've heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. How many of y'all have ever heard that name? Back in the 1970s, a lady that had a diving accident and basically became a quadriplegic. She is known for going out and sharing not only her story, but what the Lord has done in her story. And I still remember that even in these times when I was with these folks, having to transport them to different places, you know me, if you've spent any time around me, most of you in here, if not all of you, have used me as the excuse for the reason that you're late. And the reason that you have is because it's true. All you have to say is, oh, honey, I'll be there in just a minute. I got caught up with the pastor. And your spouse goes, oh, I get it. I understand. Because I like to find out about people's story. And in the moments before they were about to go on, I got a chance to ask these people, whether it was driving down the road in the car or in the green room, tell me about your story. How do you do this? How do you get up every single day of your life? How do you exhibit the joy of the Lord when you're a quadriplegic? How do you exhibit the joy of the Lord when you're confined to a wheelchair? How do you exhibit the joy of the Lord when every move that you make causes great pain? And they would explain something to me, all of them at different times, that took years for the light to come on. And you know what they were really talking about? They were describing how they went from day to day. And it wasn't on their own strength. It was by the strength of God Almighty. And not only was it the strength of God Almighty, the part that was really interesting was they did it with the joy of the Lord. They always had a smile on their face. Even when there was people that had to help them, even when you could see through visible pain or whatever, they always found the joy in the circumstance, the joy in the situation. And folks, let me tell you something. That is the definition of current sanctification. Because you know what it was when I asked one in particular? I said, how do you do this? And they said this. They said, because God has called me and placed me here for a reason and for a purpose. And it's not because of the ailment. But through Christ, are you catching this? Through Christ, everything is a joy. I am here to magnify Him. I am here to find the good. I am here to pass along the good. I am here to be a ray of sunshine, and not just by word, but meaning it truly. See, a lot of times we'll lie. We'll lie to people, don't we? Hey, how you doing? Fine. No, you're not. You know, when you know you're not. And for a myriad of reasons, but let me tell you, God knows exactly where you are. But to be able to sit back and say, you know what, every day of my life, I get up with joy, even in the midst of the hard and the tough circumstances. And even in the midst of all of that, I can have a smile on my face because I know that God's got a purpose and a plan for me, number one. And number two, that it is temporal. Did you get that? I heard somebody say one time, said, well, your stuff's not temporal. You're never going to be healed. And I still remember the comment was, oh, yes, I am. Because there will come a day when I will look the Savior in the eye and I won't have cerebral palsy. There'll come a day when I will look the Savior in the eye and I will walk through the kingdom of heaven on two legs. There will come a time when I will see the Savior and the arms that don't work here will wrap around Him. So this is only temporal. I am looking for what is permanent. So how are we living our sanctification today? Our scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is one that you've heard, but I want you to think about it in regard to sanctification. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Now what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, may you permeate our brains and our minds as we worship you today. God, I pray that you'll give us a whole new perspective as we not only go away from this place, but Lord, as we go through every single day of our life. Lord, help us to live sanctified. Lord, use me as your speaker for these moments. I am truly nothing and no one without you. And may the words that come from this pulpit today have the power that can only come from heaven. May you work in hearts and lives. And Lord, may you change them from start to finish. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you look at these scriptures, you see a whole lot of opposites, don't you? He starts giving this great list. He starts off by saying, to everything, there's a season. And then he starts to list all these different things. You know, a time for every purpose under heaven. We don't like to hear a time for every purpose under heaven, do we? And particularly when we start to look at the list. Verse 2 says, a time to be born. We like that, don't we? Well, we celebrate babies when they're born. They're so cute and everything. A time to be born and a time to die. We don't like to celebrate that, do we? But have you ever noticed that as a believer, when we get together, we talk about a celebration of life? It should be a celebration because blessed is in the sight of the Lord is the going home of his saints. But you see, the problem is we have a perspective issue, don't we? What we do is we look at things from a selfish standpoint. We're not going to see that loved one again. They're not going to be around. Now, by the way, God doesn't say that, doesn't look at y'all and say, okay, look, okay, your daddy, your mama, your husband, your wife, your child passed away. Get over it. That's not what he says. Not at all. In fact, he didn't even say there wouldn't be sorrow in our hearts, but he did say that to a believer, we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. You see, we have to have the right perspective when we're celebrating the life of a loved one that has gone on to be with the Lord. You have to picture them in heaven. You have to picture the quadriplegic walking around and waving their arms in praise before Jesus. You have to witness the one who has cerebral palsy, who can't speak louder and clearer than any of us. You have to be able to imagine the perspective of those whose bodies had been riddled with pain and cancer and those sort of things being completely healed and free. You see, that is what helps us to celebrate the life that we have been given with them. He goes on, he gives this great list, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn. You see all the opposites that he's talking about there? So you know what happens is you and I will go through circumstances and situations in life where, like verse 4 says, it's a time to weep. But here's what I also want you to understand. It's only for a season. And you know what some people will say? Some people will say, well, no, it's not. This is permanent. No, it's not. It's only for a season. And people say, well, here's a person that's a quadriplegic. There is no medical hope. And I've said before, yes, you're absolutely right. But there is spiritual hope. And the spiritual hope says that one day they will be healed. One day they will walk in the kingdom of heaven. One day they will raise their arms to put them around the Jesus who went to Calvary's cross for them. You see, we too often have our focus on the earthly life. If you don't get anything else today, make sure you get this. We need to live with a heavenly perspective, not an earthly perspective. And too many times, society has sucked us in to believing in the earthly perspective. We worry about tomorrow. I had this problem for a while when I was younger. You see, I was too busy worrying about tomorrow that I didn't live for the day that I had been given. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? Where you have been robbed of the day because you were worried about tomorrow. And then when tomorrow came, guess what you did? You worried about tomorrow again. And you've never lived for the day. You've never lived in the joy that God has placed in your heart and in your life. Listen, if that's you today, I want to issue you a challenge. Live for today. Because the Word of God says this. You're not promised tomorrow. I have given you this moment. I have given you this moment to magnify me. I have given you this moment to be used in my hands and to be used for my kingdom. And let me make you a promise, and most of you know this. Those moments soon become memories. If you don't grasp the moment, before long, it will be a simple memory. And there's the regret. Well, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have said that. Listen, when you go out of this place, do so with zero regret. When somebody that you love goes away from you and enters the kingdom of heaven, make sure there's no regret. I loved like I should. I talked like I should. I was the Christian brother or sister that I should have been. And some of y'all are sitting there going, well, you know what? It's not too late. You know why? Because God has given you today. He has given you the moment. Remember the illustration, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to go to those passages over in the book of Matthew because I already mentioned them to you. Where he said, think about the birds of the field. They don't worry. They don't plant fields, they don't have a tractor, they don't have a harvester, they don't put up and store up in barns. Now, by the way, I want to pause right here because I'm also not giving you the biblical right to be lazy. There's a difference between those two. It's a shame I have to explain that in our society today, but it's truth. God doesn't, matter of fact, the Lord says that the lazy person ought not eat. Isn't that what it says in the Word? Okay. Now, he doesn't condone laziness, but what he says is this, you have to trust me. Let me ask you this. Has God said he'll take care of us? Altogether, has God said he will take care of us? Yes. He has. Has God said he will take care of all of our needs? Yes. Then why don't we live that way? Remember what I said earlier. Do you believe that God is who he says he is and that he can do what he says he's going to do? And you told me yes. Then why is it that we freak out over circumstances and situations? Oh, preacher, you don't understand how bad it is. I don't have to understand how bad it is. God knows. But I also know that if God can take dust of the earth and create man, he ain't having a Malox moment over my issue or yours, right? And as much as we don't have the answer, God has the answer. I always like going to the person with the answer. I used to love that. I always used to enjoy watching Barney Miller. Y'all remember that? old show. Still watch Barney Miller. Matter of fact, I guess I'm an old soul at heart. Y'all remember Nick? Yamana? I don't think Nick ever made a decision in his life. Barney! He always deferred to the one that was in charge. Oh, are you drawing a spiritual parallel there? Nick Yamana always deferred to the one in charge. Are we deferring to the one in charge of our life? The Word of God in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us we are going to have these issues. There's going to be a time to laugh, and there's going to be a time to cry. But I can tell you this. God has the answers for all the things that trouble us, but yet we let them weigh us down. We let them destroy us. We let them test our faith in the Lord, because here's what happens. When we start to go through the times of weeping rather than laughing, the times of mourning rather than dancing, the times of casting away stones rather than gathering them, we begin to question God, because Satan's there tapping our shoulder going, hey, where's God? You see, if God was a God of love, he wouldn't be doing that to those people. If God was who he says he was, and he is the God that everybody says loves you, why does he allow these things to happen? And oh, by the way, if God loved you, why are you going through the things you're going through? Now, I will tell you this. If you are living and breathing and listening to my voice, you have heard Satan say those things in your life. And there's probably been some times when you said, yeah, wait just a cotton-picking minute. You're absolutely right. Why? I'm doing the best I can. I read my Bible. I pray. I'm a good church person. And look at how those heathen are prospering. And Lord, why is it that I'm the one that gets overlooked for the promotion? Why is it I deserve it? Now, we don't usually say it that way, but that's how we feel. That reflects our feelings. And God's going, chill out. There's a reason. Now, I've shared this illustration with you before at times when I've been a little upset with God's ways. None of y'all have ever been that way, have you? I've shared with you before that it was a time that I had gone to the convention and there was a lot of things that were going on. I was just ready to get home and sleep in my own bed. And I still remember coming in, and I know enough about airplanes to know when things aren't perking along on schedule. Now, I didn't say there was any sort of mechanical issues or anything, but when you keep making left turns like you're at a NASCAR race and it's time for you to be where you're supposed to be, that tells you something. Get that right, Bill. I'm an airplane guy. That means that you are circling the pattern. Whether it's because of air traffic or whatever the situation is. Well, you know what? I didn't care what the situation was. I wanted to get on the ground, get my suitcase, and go home. In fact, I didn't even care about my suitcase. I thought, I'll pick it up later. They'll hold it. And then I started to complain to myself. And then after I got done listening to myself complain, I started complaining to the person beside me. Misery loves company, right? I can't believe we're sitting there circling the airport. I can't land this thing. It's Greensboro. This ain't Chicago or Atlanta. Well, I'd be able to land this thing. What's going on here? Then you go, what are they holding back from us? What are they not telling us? I want on the ground, and I want on the ground now. They said we were going to land at this time, and we are a half an hour past that time. I'm mad. And I was making sure everybody knew it. And I still remember just in that moment, you know where you kind of pause from your tirade? And I was like, and the Lord said, Roy, you dummy. You just sit down and you just trust me. Now stop what you're doing. You're getting everybody, you're wound up, you're getting everybody else wound up. Have I not taken care of you? Yeah. Have I not looked after you? Yeah. Well, then sit down, keep your seatbelt tightened, and keep your mouth shut. That was a really weird encounter with God that day. So then I was kind of like, instead of this, I was more like, not very long after that, we landed. And I still remember as we taxied up to the gate that they were making their regular announcements about staying seated and all that. And the pilot came on. He said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I really appreciate your patience with us. I just wanted to let you know that the reason that we circled the pattern for a half an hour was that the last count was that there was about 200 plus deer that were on the runway at PTI. So he said they were out clearing the runway so we could land. God didn't say a word, but I could see him going, you see, if we had tried to have landed, it could have been devastating. But God saw what I couldn't see. Did you get that? If you're writing stuff down, that's a good one to write down. God saw what I couldn't see. And the same thing holds true in your life. God sees what you can't. He sees down the road. Sometimes you have to take detours. Have you ever taken so many detours that you were really lost? You know, you go up and there's a detour that you have to take because there's a sign out there, and then you got a GPS that decided to take a vacation, and then it shows you out in the middle of nowhere. There's no roads there. It doesn't know how to get you back, and you drive and drive and drive, and you have no clue where you are. I mean, I've literally had to stop before and say, could you tell me what town we're in? What's the best way to get there? That's not a fun feeling. But you know what I've learned to do in time? I've learned to sit back and go, well, God knew what was going on. Either there's somebody out here that needs encouragement or needs Jesus or what have you. Let's just enjoy the ride. Folks, why can't we just enjoy the ride? It doesn't always look good. Sometimes the flat tire was the working of God in your life to keep you out of the massive 20-car pileup down the road. And yet what we do is we have a fit because we had a flat tire. You see, living sanctified means this, that you are looking to honor God in every moment of your life. You see, when you showed up today, were you looking to honor God with this moment in your life? When you encounter people, are you looking to honor God as one of His children in every encounter? When you leave this place, will you be looking to honor God with all of your encounters? You know, it's a shame, but it is so true that servers in restaurants say the worst day that they hate to work is on Sunday because all the church people come into the restaurants and give them a hard time. Is that expressing God's love? Is that what Jesus would do? Would Jesus get mad? And by the way, you don't know their story. Be patient. I did that one time when I was out of town, and I was really fuming because of the way things were not going well in a restaurant. But yet I decided to hold my peace, and I decided to be a representative of the Savior. And I still remember that I was eating in that restaurant, and I told that lady, I said, look, I said, I know you're trying your best. I said, I see people all over your back. I said, I appreciate you serving me today. I know you. I didn't lie to her. I said, you're doing your best. And I said, I really appreciate that. And she just broke down in tears. And she said, you know, she said, my husband left 6 months ago. She said, I have three little children. She said, I'm trying to go to school. I'm trying to work. I'm trying to support them. I'm about to be thrown out of my apartment. And she said, everything just kind of came crashing down on me today. See, nobody cared about her story. Nobody thought that there might have been a story. But with tears in her eyes, she said, thank you for not being mean to me I said, hey, that's not what God's people do. And I said, can I pray for you? She said, I would love for you to pray for me. I said, okay. So I prayed for her. And like I said, you've heard me tell you before that the older I get, the less I care about what people think. So when I got done having prayer with her and everybody was still griping and moaning and the boss was over there, I made sure that I told the boss, I said, I want to see your manager. And I said, I want you to know. I said, don't be mean to her. I said, because I'm going to ask her. I wasn't really going to because I wasn't going to be back. I was out of town. I said, but I'm going to find out. I said, don't you be mean to her because she did a fantastic job serving me and I was the one who was taking her time. And in this generation, it should be the way it was in the old generation that the customer is always right. I said, you got a good young lady here working for you. She's trying her best. She's having a tough day. Why don't you cut her a little slack? Be mad at her, you be mad at me. I said, because I'm walking out this door, but I will check back. It was fun doing that because he was only about 25. You can threaten them real good, they're scared of you. You mess with her, I'm going to be back. Why can't we be a blessing? Why can't we live sanctified? Because listen, folks, before the sun sets, we might see the Savior. Today might be the last day you ever have to reflect Him, to honor Him. You know you've seen it happen in your lives. Golly, Pete, they found so-and-so dead this morning. I just talked to them last night. Make sure that you enjoy the moments of sanctification before they become memories. We have a lot of memories here in this church, here in this place together. We've done and seen a lot of things happen for the glory of God. Even the simple little things. In the midst of our cleanup, we gave some chairs to a church. Guy sent me a voicemail the day after we got him. He said, you ain't going to believe it. I said, we're praying that lots of people will come to know Jesus because you got some comfortable chairs to sit in. And he said, was over at the center and there were some people that were helping us unload the chairs. He said, I shared the gospel message with the guys. We sat down in those chairs and he said, I had a chance to lead him to Jesus. He said, so the chairs are already working. We laugh because we know it's really the Holy Spirit. But what you've done, chairs that were sitting in storage that meant so much to somebody else. He said, today, this day, this is the first Sunday, he said, our people will sit on comfortable chairs for the first time. Because Central Baptist Church loved us enough to share what they had with us. He sent me pictures this morning of their setup. And I'm sitting there thinking, they're chairs! But a chair can make all the difference in the life of somebody. I'll guarantee you, if somebody trusts Jesus, I will have another email, voicemail, or text message before lunchtime. And that's what it's all about. Are you living sanctified? Because for everything, there is a season. Are we trusting God as we should? Are we allowing Him to be everything in our lives? I didn't get to the message, but let me get to the conclusion of the message I didn't preach. I have in the conclusion in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches the value of living in the present moment and trusting in God's provision. The Old Testament also highlights the importance of remembering significant moments and God's faithfulness as seen in Joshua 4 and Psalm 90. Ultimately, our time on earth is brief, and in the Bible urges us to have an eternal perspective
and use each moment for God's glory. Remember, I told you that I met some of those folks, and I kept thinking, man, you've been in this condition for your whole life. And I still remember what Johnny Erickson Tata said. She said, yeah, but. She said, the Bible says this. She said, the Bible tells me that one day in heaven is as 1,000 years on earth. So my perspective is, how long will I be in heaven? And that my paralysis is only a vapor in this thing that I will know as all of eternity. So I'm going to live for the Savior. When the pain comes and the days are bad, I'm going to find a way to praise Him in the midst of it. When the tough times come, I'm going to find a way to not focus on me, but to focus on somebody else and to care with a care that Jesus had. We ask ourselves a question, do we care whether or not people go to hell? And I think emphatically people would say, well, yes, we do. Well, do our actions and do our life prove it? Well, that's a different story, isn't it? See, if we really, really cared, then we would be sanctified, set aside. That Jesus says, today, in the middle of everything that's going on, I want you to look for the holy moments in it. You sit back and go, the holy moment. Okay, I got the holy moments in church, but you mean the holy moments in lunch? Yep. The holy moments in the car ride home? Oh, yeah, because I sin a lot there. I got the Yosemite Sam vocabulary. Confounded, friggin' fracking, low, good, no, down, dirty, double cross, cut me off. Satan knows your weaknesses. Like I said, shake your fist at that person and then let them follow you into church as a visitor. You're going to hide in the back. You're representing well. The moments that you spend with your family, sanctify them. Make them holy. Make them set apart. Not just a Sunday church service. Ask yourself the question, is what I'm doing what God wants me to do because it's holy? Or am I resisting what God wants because it's my way? We are selfish, stingy people, aren't we? If we really, really look at ourselves through the eyes of Jesus, yeah, I'll look at myself and go, good Lord, I'm the most stingy, selfish person I know. Well, don't laugh, because if you look at yourself through Jesus' eyes, you'll find the same thing about you. You know what Jesus cares about? Seeing people come to know Him as Savior. That's what He cares about. He could care less about your wants or your desires. And I know everybody's got this theology today that God wants you to be happy. No, God wants you to be His servant. And happy and joy are two different things. Paul wasn't happy that he had his back split open with a cat of nine tails. He wasn't happy that he was in prison. But in the midst of it, he expressed the joy of the Lord. That, my friend, is sanctification. Being able to truly sing praises at midnight while your back's bleeding. Paul didn't sit back and go, well, you know, I don't like this cell. It's damp and cold down here. I'm going to file a lawsuit. I've said before, I think God looks at us and goes, well, you guys suck it up and get on. You don't know what tough is. You don't know what hard is. You don't know what real suffering is. And he's sitting there saying, I'm not asking you to do these things. I'm telling you to do these things. Remember how that was? This generation growing up, you know how it was. Your mama or your daddy would ask you to do something. You know what that meant, right? They weren't really asking you to do it. It came in the form of asking you to do it. Hey, would you take out the garbage? Hey, will you set the table? Hey, will you do the dishes? Because you knew if you didn't do it, something was going to happen, right? Uh-huh. Like I said, time out in my generation was how long it took you to come to after you didn't do what you were supposed to do. That's what time out was. The Lord is patient. I think the Lord's getting tired of our junk in America. I think he's tired of our disobedience. And he's got ways to make it right. I think he's tired of the things that even happen within churches. I think God is tired of worship wars. He's sitting there saying, churches can't get along over whether it's contemporary music or whether it's traditional music while people are dying and going to hell around them, and they're getting mad at each other. And Satan's laughing. He's saying, listen, I've even got the church at odds over something that don't amount to a hill of beans. I like what Sam Rainer said. I felt really, really good about it here at Central Baptist Church. He said, there's a surprising resurgence of the neighborhood church. And he said, but you know what the churches do? He said, the churches that do that are the ones that are reaching out into their community. The ones that allow their community to be a part of the church. And that's what you've done. Right here at 1715 Highway 68 North. You got another church right over there. You got a school that's going to be meeting down here. And people know what's going on. There's going to be people who their lives, because they drop their kids off here every day, when life gets sideways, they're going to stop in the office and talk to the pastor or to a counselor that we have available for them that's going to point them to Jesus. We're going to have those opportunities. You know what the Lord says? This ain't y'all's place. This is my place. And I want my word to go forward through every motive, through every means, through every circumstances. And I can make it happen with you or without you. That's what God says. Some of you all have had something happen where God has done it without you when he asked you to. I still remember a guy that I grew up with in my home church. I've shared his story with you before about how God had asked him to sing. He had a great voice, ministry to be able to sing, but he decided he wanted to do something else. And God got his attention with a stroke. His voice was never the same ever again, but God got his attention in the midst of it. And I can still remember his testimony as he told. He said, I told God no. God told me no. You don't tell me no. He said, you've told me no for the last time. As he held on to that pulpit, shaking, his signature song, those that sing have a signature song. I can still remember John's. They have a signature song that they love to sing. And he sang that song, and it was nowhere near what it used to be. But yet, it was far better than it had ever been. No, his voice shook. It wasn't exactly the right key that day, but you know what? It had a message behind it that day. Jack Weaver is with the Lord right now. But he said, I beg you, if God tells you to do something, don't tell him no. Because he will only take no so many times. Then he will put you where he wants you to be. I love Jack. I could see him hanging on to that pulpit singing that song right now. I was a little kid when all that happened. I was like, wow, what a story, what a testimony. To everything there is a season. In the middle of your good seasons, it's easy to praise him, but what about in your bad seasons? Are you living a sanctified life every day, in every moment, and in everything? People would say, you'd sit back and say, am I not entitled to a bad day? No. Maybe yourself. Maybe you can go hide in the closet and have a bad day. But you see, if you're having a bad day, then that means, are you really trusting Jesus to get you through it? Sometimes he puts us in a place where the only way we can look is up, and that's to him. I still believe that today is a good day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. And we will plow forward, and we will go and be kind to some waitress at a restaurant today. We're going to live that sanctified life. We're going to reach out to others. We're going to listen to other people's stories. Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our invitation. But here's the really interesting part. How many times have you ever heard somebody's story and you were just being downright, ugh, you know what I mean? You were like, I can't believe they're done, blah, 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 and then somebody told you. Yeah, kind of like the lady I was talking about, like the waitress I was talking about. You know, all of a sudden somebody's being mean. I've shared before, there were some people that I know, and I said, I told him that day, I said, man, you were just mean to that server. I mean, it was one of them guys that's like, yeah, it's a Mexican restaurant. Well, I want this, and don't heat up the cheese, and put this on the side, and do all this. And this guy, I mean, barely knew English. I mean, look, man, you order by numbers. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. No, just pick a number. And he was all huffy. I don't want anything. Just threw the menu. He hurt that guy's feelings really bad. So the waiter went to get our stuff, and I said, man, you are a jerk. And he looked at me, and he said, well, what do you mean? I said, man, you just drug that guy through the ringer. I said, you didn't treat him like, you know, like Jesus would treat somebody. I did not. I did not do that. And then there was another guy with us. And he looked over at him. He said, did I treat that guy bad? And man, he was eating chips and salsa. And he went, it's like, there you go. So when the guy came back, he apologized to him. He said, I feel a whole lot better about myself. I said, I feel a whole lot better about you too. But I've been places before where it was a situation like the waitress we were talking about. And somebody's sitting there going, I can't believe that girl, blah, 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 blah. He said, hey, you realize that she hadn't had but about 4 hours of sleep in the last 24 because she's trying to raise 3 kids? You realize that she has to take them to school. She's got to pick them up. She doesn't have any help. You realize this is her only job because her husband left her. And then you hear the, well, I didn't know that. I'm like, yeah, you didn't take the time to find out. That's number one. Number two, you need to treat everybody as if that was their story because everybody has a story. How many times has somebody said, well, nobody would want me around because, you know, I've been a criminal, or I've done this, or I've done that. And I'm like, that your past doesn't define you. Jesus said, you come just as you are. We sing just as I am, don't we? Well, is that okay for us then? Just as I am, except for you, because you've got this. Jesus paid it all, except for you, because you did these. No, that's not how it works. He paid it all, and he forgives. And we need to emulate that in him. Are we living a sanctified life? Not just the biblical definition of we're saved and now we're separate from the world, but in every day and in every deed, are we living that way? See, I learned that from some of the greats that had to live it every day. Johnny Erickson Tata. David Ring. My Marine buddy that I love. I'm sitting there going, wow, I certainly don't have anything to complain about because I don't have to go through what you go through with every day. And I still remember what Lee said to me because I loved what he was an old military guy. They tell it like it is. I said, well, boy, I certainly don't have anything to complain about. And he said, you're right. And don't ever forget it. Okay, yes, sir. But he was right, and I've never forgotten it. We're blessed. God says, I want you to live for me. We sing songs, living for Jesus. We know all the hymns. Do we apply them? So here's my question. First of all, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him? Is he King of Kings? Is he Lord of Lords? Do you believe what the Word says? Do you believe he can save you? Do you believe that he's going to provide for you eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? If you do, have you confessed that before him? Can you truly say, when I go out these doors, I know if I breathe my last breath in this next moment, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven? If you don't know that, you need to get it right today. I'm also saying this. Listen, if you've never trusted him, there's nothing magical about talking with me. It's about having a trust in him and living for him. It's not checking boxes. What do you need to do? Listen, I love each and every one of you enough that I don't want to see you spend an eternity in hell. And some of y'all just thought, well, you don't know me that well. Yeah, I do, because God put me here for this reason. It would break my heart to see you suffer an eternity in hell. What will you do? Here's your decision. You, if you forget this, and if you drop into the gates of hell, you will remember this very day for the rest of your eternity. And my heart will be broken for you. And so will many other people's. Will you trust him today? Simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You're a savior. Forgive my sin and save my soul. Teach me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that in a minute, you have begun a journey with us. Not the end, you've begun a journey with him. Please let us know. We want to help you walk with him. Maybe you're here today and you have been sitting back and you have not lived. You've been on cruise control, man. You have been so spiritual for so many decades that you got it down. This is the way we do it. This is blah, blah. No, no. He's got something new and exciting for you every day. Are we living a sanctified life every day? And living the joy of the Lord. Maybe we just need to repent today and say, Lord, you know what? I've jacked this up. I've been on cruise control. And we've all been there. Every one of us. But Lord, I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to be what you want me to be for today. For Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. What will you do? If you need me, I'm here. If you need the altar, it's here. Would you please stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn as Brad comes to lead us?
134, Jesus paid it all.
God, you know what he's called you to do. You know what he's put in your heart. Will you make it right with him today that you can leave here with the peace that truly passes all understanding? Do business with him. I'm also going to ask during this time that our serving deacons would make their way down and be seated at the front, as well as our ushers, if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, again, we thank you for these moments that we have to spend together. Lord, I pray that as we endure the times that lie ahead of us before we see you, that we will be able to do that in a true way of being sanctified for you. Lord, may we truly redeem every moment that we live, and may we represent you well. Now, Lord, we come to the time where we give back to you that portion that you've blessed us with. We ask that you would give a special blessing to the gift as well as the giver, and may we be good stewards of what you have entrusted us with for your kingdom and for your glory, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Hey, man, just want to take these moments as we have this time to gather together, because the Lord called us to observe communion, to observe the Lord's Supper, to sanctify it. And so as we come together today and we take this time to honor what it is that the Lord did for us, as they headed in to the time of communion, the thing that was told to his disciples was this. It says, but let a man examine himself. As we look at our hearts today, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us. As you look at your heart today, are you ready? Are you clean before the Master? Are there things that the Lord says you need to get squared away and straightened out with him? I want to ask you, as you examine your heart during these moments, that you would make it right with him as we enter into this time of communion. Let us pray together. Now, Father, as we take these moments in the quietness and the stillness of your house and in the stillness of your presence, Lord, this is real. We are at your feet. You are here. You're looking into our hearts. You're looking into our souls, and you know everything about us. So, Father, as we take the time to be obedient to your word, to observe the time around the Lord's table together, may our hearts be prepared as we do this. And Lord, we'll be so careful to praise you for what we know that you'll do. Give us strength, give us courage, help us to cleanse our hearts as we head into this time of communion with you, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Roger, would you pray for the bread for us?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. This is a time that Jesus said to his disciples, Lord, remember me. And Father, we pray today that this is the center of our will today, Lord, that we're putting you right in the center of it, and we follow you every day of our lives in the manner that we should. Father, we thank you now for every blessing you've given us, every prayer you've answered. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
the Lord gathered his disciples together in that upper room. The scripture tells us that that evening he gave thanks and he took the bread. And it says, and he broke it, he passed it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Brother Kelly, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Gracious and Holy Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus. We sing a song that it's nothing but the blood of Christ, blood of Jesus, that we can come to you. We're taught in the scriptures as well that we're sanctified through the blood of Jesus. That process, dear Lord, that you bring us closer to you. So thank you, dear Lord, for this time that allow us to come together, communion, as one representative of the body on the earth. In his name, amen.
Amen. Also, when he supped, he took the cup and he said to his disciples, this is the new covenant in my blood. I always like to explain. That part gets me so excited because he was talking about the fact that there wouldn't have to be any more animal sacrifices repeatedly over and over, that Jesus Christ in his shed blood would be the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. So he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
Amen. The word tells us that for all, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes. What a memorial service. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what we got going on here real quick, and then we're going to get you on out of here, because I know those servers you're going to be kind to are waiting for you, and you're ready to go tend to them. But just a couple of quick things. Birthdays that we have this week. Our very own Carol Boone and Dan Wagner will be having birthdays on the 23rd. Mark's already leaving. He's like, you're going to go get her a present, right? He better get you something, Carol. So Carol and Dan on Tuesday, the 23rd, then on Wednesday, Tammy Bowman will be celebrating a birthday. And then Mark Boone himself, the man, will be celebrating one on Friday. So snakes and snails and puppy dog tails, that's what Mark's made of. But anyway, listen, be sure to let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. Give them that hug, card, cash, you know, credit cards, whatever it is that you want to give them. But just a couple of things to let you know for today. A few things a little bit different. My discipleship group is going to be meeting at 3:30 like normal, except we will be meeting in a new location. We will be in room 116, which is the choir room over in the other building, okay? So if you forget about it, you'll just be an empty room. Meander on down to 116 right across from the kitchen. There is a 3:30 building and grounds meeting in classroom 6 of this building back here, the sanctuary building. And then there is a time change on Awana, so make note of this. Awana is at 5 o'clock today. And the reason it's at 5 o'clock is because tonight is Derby night. So everybody needs to be there to have their car weighed in and be ready to go and get started at actually 5:30. So be here at 5 o'clock, leaders, kids with cars, everything, be here at 5 o'clock for Awana. We will not be having Sunday evening services tonight. Do keep Donna in your prayers as she is recovering. David is tending to her, so we do want to continue to keep Donna lifted in our prayers. The reports so far are positive. She is doing well from what we know at this particular point, but do keep her in your prayers as she continues to recover. Band rehearsal, 7 o'clock p.m., not tonight, okay? I was just testing to see if Jim knew that. I just wanted to make sure. So no band practice tonight. And then on Monday, Steve's D group meets here at the church at 6:30. And then every Wednesday, just as a reminder, the men's breakfast, 10 o'clock a.m. At the Olympic in Colfax. And then, of course, there is a every other Tuesday Bible study. Are we on this week, off this week? Got a conflict, okay. But I do want y'all to remember that. So on Tuesday, if you'd like to be part of a Bible study that meets at Roger and Don Reese's house from 12 to 1, they meet every other Tuesday. We've had some sickness and some different things, but they'll be getting back on track here before long. But if you'd like to be a part of that, I'm sure they would love to have you. You can talk to Paul. That's Paul over there. Wave, Paul. Or Pastor David. He can let you know a little bit more details about it. Roger probably could too, since it's at his house. He could probably give you a little details on that as well. So again, as always, we just want to remind you that there's a lot of things that are going on around here. So be sure to, if you need to meet someplace, if you've got a classroom, some sort of committee meeting, please let us know so we can make sure we have it on the calendar so we don't have any conflicts with that. Now, as a reminder, I see offering plates over there in the corner. Traditionally here, what we do is we take an offering at the door. That goes 100% of that goes into our benevolence fund to be used for benevolent needs within our church. So if you see, we're not trying to shake you down for a second offering, but we're trying to shake you down for a second offering. That goes 100% to benevolence. Cherie is our chairman of benevolence right now that helps take care of needs that a lot of you don't even know about behind the scenes when those needs take place. So that's what that's for. There's also a garbage can back by the door. If you could help our ladies out who do such a wonderful job, please take your little communion cup. As you go out that door back there, there's a little garbage can. You can put that in there. And as always, we thank Phyllis and the ladies for doing such a wonderful job in making our Holy Communion a holy time. So I thank you so much for that. I want to do something. Yes, sir.
Come and watch and enjoy your time, and you know, if you can make it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. The kids have built cars, like little soapbox, well, pine wood derby. The soapbox was the big one, the pine wood derbies. They've worked hard on them, and tonight they're doing a pine wood derby race over there, the Awana kids. That's going to start in the area of 5:30. So since you don't have worship service tonight, come on over, support the kids and the Awana leaders for the time of the Pinewood Derby race as we head into winding down our Awana year. I think we've only got a couple more weeks left before Awana is down for the summer, and then we'll pick back up once again in the fall. I'm going to do something that I used to do growing up, and it's just always been kind of near and dear to my heart. The scriptures always told us this. It says that after they finished the time of communion, it says they sang a hymn and they went out, okay? How many of you all grew up in a church where after you got done, what did you sing? That's what we're going to do. Now, I am not a good leader, so Brad is going to come up and lead us in this as Vicky plays it. But I'm just going to ask that what we would do is let's all stand together. This will be our benediction as we prepare to go out into the world. Brother Brad.
We do have choir practice.